Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to tonight's playoff matchup between your Iowa Bulldogs and the Westbrook Wildcats here in the regional semifinals, coming to you live from Moffett Field in Snyder, Texas. Dave Haynes, along with Ben Moore, bringing you the play-by-play on a hot evening. But it's been hotter today, so you know, a little bit of a cloud cover here, about to start getting on the field. But Iowa Bulldogs, the home team this evening, and we are ready for action as the Bulldogs are on the field. And this is a one-game playoff set tonight, as the Westbrook Wildcats won the toss and elected to take their chances in a one-game series. So whichever team moves on from this will be playing next week in the regional finals. And it looks like right now Nazareth will be the opponent, as they have won the first game this evening against Crest 3-0. And last we heard, in the fifth inning, they were up in the second game 8-0. So a lot of stake here for the Bulldogs to go as far as they have ever gone before, and potential to go ahead and move on to the state championship as Jerry prepares to make the first pitch to the Wildcat batter, his battery mate and brother, Jerry Pena. Jerry with the first pitch down and away as Jaron blocks it. Ball one. Lineup pretty similar. We had the same lineup the last 3 weeks, and it's a situation where if it works, then you know, why tinker with it? So
don't think
that's right. Jerry's ball too high, 2-0 count, and delivers ball three. Also high. Again, just like last week, we had to get acclimated to the call of the umpire, as he was a low-pitch umpire, and tonight, obviously, he doesn't like anything above the ribcage, as a couple of pitches look pretty good, but four straight balls, and it puts Larson, the leadoff batter on first base for the Wildcats. Number 11, Walters, the catcher, comes to the plate. Jarek with the pitch, and that hits the outside corner for a called strike one. Jaron Pena looked down to first base. He is so quick on a snap throw that you can't get too far off the bag, or he'll just take you out. Pitch number two is fouled back. First baseline side, so quickly Jarek ahead 0-2 in the count. Again, one on by virtue of a four-pitch walk here in the top of the first inning. And that time an intentional high outside pitch for Jaron, and Jaron throws down to first base. Thought that had the runner off the bag enough, but he is called safe. So one ball, two strikes. Jarek looks the runner back at first. Makes the pitch, and that is a called strike three on a nasty curveball. Started inside, kind of froze the hitter, and couldn't make the bat move. And now he's moved back to the dugout.
Yeah, he was surprised that it was called a strike, and it was good for us.
Exactly. One out now here in the top of the first inning. One runner on first base, the number three hitter, White. Tonight's pitcher for the Wildcats.
Oh, this time they throw back behind the runner at first base, and he is out. So just like that,
one base runner to start the game for the Wildcats on four straight pitches, but three pitches later he gets taken out at first. And now two outs. Again, another inside-out curveball from Pena. In for the strike, quickly ahead of the batter, 0-1. And fastball right down the middle, swing and a miss. just like that. Two outs on the Wildcat hitters. 0-2, the count on the current batter. Basically a waste pitch high and away. Count goes to 1-2 for Jarek. And the pitch in the dirt on another curve. Jarek able to go ahead and pick the ball up on the swinging strikeout, tag the runner before he's able to get out of the box. And just like that, a little non-conventional, but a 1-2-3 inning, half inning for the Iowa Bulldogs. Leadoff batter walks. Next batter strikes out. Pick off the runner at first base and strike out batter number three. So good first half inning for Jarek.
I want to thank all the sponsors who support this broadcast. Our first one of the evening is Pizza Inn. Pizza Inn is a buffet and salad bar all day. They have a great team price, so call ahead and let them know that you are coming. Another sponsor for the broadcast is Ira Church of God, a proud supporter of the Ira Bulldogs. Our mission is making Jesus known and loving others. Check out our Facebook page at Ira Church of God. Another sponsor is Sonic Drive-In, with half-price drinks all day long in the Sonic app, standing out every Tuesday from 5 to close, and half-price single patty burgers. And today, it's 50-cent corn dog day.
Ooh.
Good day. Yeah, it's a great day. That's what we have for lunch. Another sponsor is Snyder Iron and Metal, with 5 locations in Snyder, Sweetwater, Anson, Andrews, and Big Spring. Top prices paid for all recyclable metals, aluminum, copper, brass, stainless steel, car bodies, iron, and tin, with structural pipe and rods available. Another sponsor is Texas Farm Bureau Insurance, with agent Stormy Sellers. Call Stormy Sellers at 940-674-5435 to see if you qualify to save up to 40% on your auto insurance. That's 940-674-5435.
Leading off for the Bulldogs in the bottom half of the first inning will be Anthony Luna, playing shortstop. This point is Anthony. He is a problem for any team once he gets on base because he's like a water bug.
Yeah,
I mean, you look up, he's on first. The next thing you know, Ben and I are saying something. He looks back up, he's on second base. And so it's always an advantage for the Bulldogs when he gets on because somehow or another he always seems to make it around the bag. Again, a little warm this evening, but slight breeze. And for being 100-plus, it's really not that bad.
Yeah, I saw the heat index that we were in one of those mornings, and I was nervous. But the boys were practicing outside, but I didn't get used to it. It'd be more mild.
Yeah, exactly. Than anybody else. I think the thing you get into more at this point in the season is being a West Texas team and being acclimated to this, and then coming up against a team from East Texas. You know that doesn't quite see they see more humidity, but they just don't see the amount of heat. You just kind of see those guys about the third, fourth, fifth inning just kind of wilt on the vine out there. But Wildcats and Bulldogs very familiar with one another. Wildcats finished third in our district. And so two previous games against the Bulldogs both ended by virtue of the run rule in favor of Ira as Luna comes to the plate. Pitch number one is low for ball one. Building by Anthony being a leadoff hitter, he is extremely patient.
Yeah, you have to pitch to him and pitch to him well.
And there's a shot in the gap between third baseman and shortstop. A little different for him this week. Last week, I think everything he hit was somewhere between short and second base. It was like it was a pitching machine. You're just hitting it right up the middle. But again, as he has so many times this year, and especially in the playoffs, Luna with the leadoff hit, and Bulldogs in early business here as Brighton Partain, playing third base this evening, comes to the plate. Anthony with a good lead at first. Brighton shows bunt, pulls back, and the throw is way late second base. Brighton just waving the bat out there, trying to distract the catcher, kind of double clutched it a little bit. But Anthony in well ahead of the attempted throw to second base. So just like that, runner in scoring position. 1-0 is the count on Brighton. Shot, one hopper. bad hop to the shortstop, he's able to go ahead and knock it down. But by the time he gets turned around, Watts Anthony stayed smartly at second because the play was right beside him and not able to recover. Brighton with, I mean, you can call it an error on the shortstop on that one, but it was a sharply hit ball, short hopped it, hit the heel of his glove, and Iowa Bulldogs with base runners at first and second, and attempted pickoff one hop to second base. I don't know if I've ever seen that before.
It almost didn't look bad. It could have got by that.
It did. And the thing is, the pitcher turned against his body because he turned to the left. He's a right-handed pitcher, and so he was thrown with no momentum whatsoever and just one hop at the second base. First pitch to Jared Pena. Starting pitcher for the Bulldogs this evening. Up high, ball one. 1-0 is the count. Luna at second, Partain at first, no outs here in the bottom of the first inning. Swing and a strike. Jerry's wanted to have an inside pitch that got belt high, and
he put some gumption behind it.
He did. I think that was what you call a swing with intent. There was a lot of intention there, mostly bad intention. 1-1 is the count. And a little late on the swing that time, ball down and out for strike two. But here's the deal, too. Last week, how many 1-2 counts and 0-2 counts did the Bulldogs find themselves in? And I'll bet we hit over 500 with two strike counts.
It happens. That's how we did most of our damages on two-strike counts.
Ball hits the shortstop, and again, it's booted by the shortstop. That's just a great error on that one, as it too hot him, and you got a feeling he was looking at third base to see if he had an opportunity to go ahead and get the lead runner, Luna, at third.
Yeah.
When he did, it short hopped him, came up his arm, and wasn't able to knock it down and recover in time. So, base was full of Bulldogs.
Well, and all three that have hit the ball have hit him over to that left side.
Exactly.
And so I wonder if they're trying to pick on that shortstop a little bit.
That's definitely what it looks like. Number five, Jared Cabrera is pinch running for Pena at first. Get him off the field and rest it up as the Bulldogs try to go ahead and get the first run of the game on the board here at the bottom of the first inning. Again, bases loaded. Luna at third. Partain at second, Jarrett Cabrera at first base after the error on the hard hit ball by Jarrett Pena. Drew Porter at the plate, wild pitch, and Luna is in as the other two base runners advance. So Iowa Bulldogs on the board. You can hear that pitch hit the plate, and that's the hardest thing for a catcher. Usually if it's in the dirt, at least you can drop down, but you never know where it's going to go. When it hits the rubber, and it hit, bounced up over his left shoulder, and Luna was off as soon as he saw the ball get away.
We couldn't do that last week because that brick wall was so close that it would bounce back.
And then automatic ball return at Holly, and this pitch behind Drew Porter. Drew, again, steps out of the batter's box. Brighton Partain with a hit first slide, no play at the plate, and just like that, two runs for the Iowa Bulldogs.
Yeah, two ball pitches and two runs for the Bulldogs.
And Drew looked a little annoyed on that one, but it might be because he has been our most hit batsman for the entire season. He's like, oh, great, now they're behind me. And the next one's probably going to catch me right between the three and the two here.
That's right.
Yeah,
he takes them, though.
He does. He does not back out, and he does not shake him off. He just goes down to first base, minds his business. Count 2-0 on the batter, Drew Porter. Jarrett Cabrera, the pinch runner for Jarrett Pena, down at third, no outs. Bottom of the first inning, Iowa Bulldogs, two runs in. As Porter gets set, and this pitch also bounced about a foot and a half in front of the plate. White has been having some arm problems. We didn't expect to see him as the starter on the mound tonight. And talked to one of his relatives who's actually an Iowa Bulldog, in the stands and said that he has been having an issue with his elbow. And so, hard to tell how long he can go, but a couple of those pitches you kind of seen just didn't look like a normal delivery.
Yeah, just kind of landing weird and getting by the catcher.
3-1 is the count on Porter. Cabrera at third. And one hopper gets down on a short hop to the third baseman under his glove into left field. Cabrera scores standing up. Drew Porter with a hit. Fielder could not get his glove on it. He tried to short hop it on the second hop, and it stayed down and just rolled underneath his glove into left field. So, again, we replaced one base runner with another. Cabrera comes home. Porter at first base. 3-0 is the score, and no outs, bottom of the second, or first inning, rather. Jaron Pena, catcher, now at bat. Fouls off the first pitch, right in his wheelhouse there, just a little under it. And that's one thing about the Bulldogs, you know, you notice this year, as far as size, we're not that big.
No.
But the guys swing a mean bat.
Yeah.
There is no hesitation and there is no holding back when they swing. This one over the head of the catcher gets all the way back to the backstop. Drew Porter, not known particularly for his speed,
no,
but drew easily into second base.
When you talk about that size, we're smaller, but our kids are so tough.
Exactly.
And even physically, where they're with those 0-2 counts able to hammer it, or they don't care to hit it far, they care to hit it good. And you see them advancing and forcing errors, especially with the Pena brothers, with their arms and getting it over the first to one of the bases. They force you to play baseball the whole time.
Well, and I think you hit on a key element right there, too, is the guys this year are just mentally tough.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter what the count is, doesn't matter how many outs there are. I mean, we scored how many runs last week with two outs as well. And they're aggressive on the base pass to take the extra base. Jaron Pena hit in the heel by a pitch, so he goes down to first, and then Raylan Hernandez takes his place as the pinch runner. So 3-0, bottom of the first inning. No out for the Iowa Bulldogs. Runners at first and second. Porter at second, and Hernandez at first. At number 21, Castillo. The DH tonight comes to the plate. And no one at second base. The pitcher throws it. I didn't think he was going to throw it because the shortstop never moved. The pitcher turned and looked at second base to see where Drew was. Drew had a pretty sizable lead, but the shortstop was playing his normal position. It wasn't playing behind him. So White turns and he fires the ball over second base right into center field.
I mean, Drew was confused.
Playing
dodgeball.
Well, Drew didn't move until the ball passed him because he's like, did somebody get behind me and I wasn't aware of it or what? But
he rolled deep into center field before they picked it up. Drew stole two bases, which is not what Drew's known for. And he's fresher this week because he's not coming off the golf
course. Exactly.
Maybe that's the difference that's going on. And Raiden's at second now. I don't know what. It's just...
I don't either. That was just bizarre because when I saw him turn, I thought he was expecting the shortstop to be there and then saw he wasn't, so he was going to eat the ball, just stand and hold it. Well, instead, he released it anyway. And shortstop just looked and it rolled, you know, right into...
And he got lucky earlier because he tried to say
exactly.
On the ground. This one went over Drew's head and mentally not in a good spot.
So that is an easy one-base advance for the... two Iowa Bulldogs, and now two runners in scoring position. Already a 3-0 lead. And one hopper to short. He is able to go ahead and make the play. Drew Porter comes in from third on the throw to first. Slides in safely ahead of the throw. So Castillo out of first, but he is able to drive in a run. Raven Hernandez moves from second to third base, so Iowa Bulldog lead extended 4-0. Just one out here in the bottom of the first inning. I'll tell you what, proud of Drew on that one, because, boy, as soon as he saw that throw go across, he He hit it, and I say, if I was a catcher and I saw him coming and go into a slide, there's no amount of money that could keep me standing there. And this time a play at the plate, the third baseman gets the ball at two hopples and has Raiden Hernandez done it with a good slide. Ball pops out of the catcher's glove, and he is able to chase across the plate, but good play by the third baseman. He looked at first to go to first with the throw, and then realized he had an opportunity to go ahead and prevent a run from scoring, but Raiden with a good slide and just runs right into the catcher's mitt, able to go ahead and extend the lead to 5-0. And Allen at the plate now. On the first pitch, we steal second base. So just like that, runner in scoring position again. Bulldogs have almost batted through the order. This time the shortstop does cover. And ball hit into the gap into left center field. Left fielder gets it. And Holden Rios able to come in from second base standing up on a deep single between the center fielder and left fielder. Not enough on the throw to contest the runner coming home. So 6-0 as the Bulldogs are just lighting up the scoreboard.
Yeah, and a lot of it, the Bulldogs are doing everything they're supposed to do, but they've also capitalized on errors, and so the momentum is completely and fully in their favor, and they're just pushing their foot to the pedal, keeping it going.
Well, that's what we saw last week against Gorman as well, because we had a drop third strike that the runner took off and was able to go ahead and beat the throw down to first base. We had multiple one-hoppers from second base that the runners beat the throw from the second baseman. And it's just not giving up on a play and not conceding an out.
And you can see the pressure that it puts on the pitcher. You have to worry about first base and second base and third and the batter and what they're going to do. And all of them are playing fully.
Yeah, and in the meantime, the guy at the plate is just going, well, just get another one in scoring position for me. So
that's right.
Allen on the last pitch, foul by Lexton Hernandez. Prior to that one, able to go ahead and steal second base. So after a called strike and then a foul ball, Lexton 0-2 in the count, two outs in the bottom of the first inning. Allen on second, 6-0 is the score here in the bottom of the first. Lexton stays alive, fouls that one off, and you never know, it was around the strike zone, so just a good job of battling here at the plate.
And Lexton's a nice batter for the Bulldogs, so after this, he'll be at the top of the order, and that puts White at 22 pitches so far.
Like last week, we got into the, we were into the third inning and had already batted around three times into the third. And that is the, and I gave us an extra out because that was only, we were only playing with one out. But now,
yeah,
with the strikeout on Lexton, that is out number two. And so we have gone through the order as we get back to the top with Luna, our leadoff hitter, and shortstop coming to the plate. Ball outside, 1-0 is the count. Allen still at second base, two outs. Our Bulldogs, the home team, up 6-0 here in the bottom of the first inning of this regional semifinal playoff game. Pitch again off the plate. Count 2-0. See how we do with the 2-0 count. We know how we do with the 0-2 count.
That's right. We don't get many of these.
Not many of these, no. Ball three outside. The ball gets away from the catcher, but not far enough for Allen to make an attempt to go to third. You don't want to run yourself out of an inning anyway when you already have a runner in scoring position. And somebody like Anthony at the plate who tends to drive the ball hard every time. 3-0 is the count. It's just high for ball four, so Anthony now up twice in the first inning and has a single and a walk. Partain now to the plate, his second time at bat in the first inning. I'm not exactly sure why they keep covering the bag. They keep having the shortstop and second baseman cover behind the runner. You're down 6-0. You've got two outs, and what it does is it creates holes. And so the last time, the shortstop hadn't moved off second base before the pitcher delivered, and you had the entire left side of the field available. Brighton on pitch number one has to hit the dirt as it almost nails him. This time, pitch outside and high.
That's six straight balls.
Six straight balls now.
And you can see a little, like you were saying, it's the second baseman who's covering the base now. The boys haven't hit it to the right. Everything has been to the left or the center.
Brighton down to third base and waits for Allen to show up there. Bangs him out for the third out of the inning. Our Bulldogs don't go peacefully. 11 hitters in the bottom of the first inning, 6 runs, and we will start the top of the second inning. The Iowa Bulldogs 6-0 lead here in the regional semifinal game against the White House Wildcats.
Another sponsor for the broadcast is Community Bank of Snyder. Thank you, Community Bank, for supporting the broadcast. Yeah, man, my voice too late. Industrial voice.
You got it. Just like that. Got you.
Industrial Hose and Oilfield Supplies are sponsored. They supply your one-stop shop for all your oilfield supply needs. We stock pipe, valve, fitting, oilfield hoses, and hydraulic hoses. Service is our number one priority. Go Bulldogs. They're sponsored. Taylor Rand. Taylor Rand is a proud supporter of the Iowa Bulldog Athletics and wishes them the best of luck in the upcoming baseball playoffs. Go get them, dogs. Our sponsor is Arrowhead Ranch. Arrowhead Ranch is a proud supporter of the Iowa Bulldog Athletics. Arrowhead Ranch wishes the Bulldogs the best of luck this season. Go Bulldogs. Our sponsor is the Ira Booster Club. Proud supporters of all Ira ISD students.
Bulldogs take the field for the top of the second inning, and it is now official. Whoever wins this game tonight will face off against Tyler Goodwin and Nazareth next week in the regional final. Nazareth finishes off press 10-0 in game two after winning game one 3-0. So we're looking at the strong potential at this point in the game of a Goodwin versus Goodwin matchup.
Absolutely.
You know that's going to be exciting for both of them, but it's also nerve-wracking. I'm not sure how that household is going to be able to handle it.
Just the mixed emotions that you would feel no matter what. Will
exactly.
Be intense.
Number 19, Payne, the third baseman leading off the top of the second inning for White House. It's a high foul ball out of play to the third base side, so the count evens at 1-1 again. We're not sure how many are listening to the broadcast tonight. We know we had a lot of Iowa Bulldog fans last week since we called the game from Hawley who weren't able to make it. But with the game being here in Snyder, I think just pretty much everyone in Iowa is out here. At least it looked that way when we came up.
Yeah, the parking lot is full.
But for those of you who are listening, we appreciate it. Appreciate our sponsors for making it possible. And we're happy to be able to bring you this regional semifinal game. 2 balls, 2 strikes on the batter now, top of the second inning. Iowa Bulldogs with a 6-0 lead. And a curveball for strike three, and Jerry does some serious damage. Talk about setting somebody up. You bring a fastball up and in, and then hit him with that that curveball that goes inside to outside, and he is the third batter now that has just stood there and looked at it because, what do you do? It's hard to get the bat off your shoulder.
It freezes you.
It does. To Hopper back to the mound on the next pitch, Jerry able to field it cleanly, gets the ball to Porter, And just that quickly, we have out number two. And Jared, how many pitches?
18th pitch of the game.
We'll take 10 pitches an inning. You know that? That's pretty efficient.
That's more efficient.
He's thrown six pitches so far. Number seven is a strike, a swinging strike. Number five, Holt, the second baseman for the Wildcats, in at the plate. Pitch a little high. He put some heat on that one. In turn, Jaron's glove with that familiar pop.
Yeah, he's got to ice his hand up.
He does. Inside, the swing and strike for strike two. 1-2 is the count. Two outs here in the top of the second inning. No base runners for the Wildcats. And a little high. He came again with the heater. So far, Jarek has faced the minimum as he had the leadoff man in the first inning walk, but was picked off for the second out of the half inning. Still just a little high on that pitch, so we go to a full count, 3-2 on the hitter. Not a betting man, but if I was, I'd say it's going to be an off-speed pitch. See what Jarek has in mind here.
Well, he normally just goes and throws it.
He does.
I think it's time here on this one.
And high for ball four, so second base runner for the Wildcats, both by virtue of a walk. This one comes with two outs in the top of the second inning. Right fielder Jerry Ramirez coming to the plate.
And this is where the Tanya brothers are really, really good, because Jared has such an arm that can't lead off first. In fact, he's not baseline off the bag at all.
You're talking about one of the smaller fleets at first base you're going to see in a high school baseball. Just took about another half step, but he might be five and a half feet off the bag at the most.
Yeah, you've got Jared on the mound. You can throw that hitch over quick, and you've got Jared, who even pump faked him there and scared him a little bit.
And you notice, as a base runner, typically, once the ball leaves the pitcher's hand, your first initial reaction is to lean towards second base. His initial reaction was to lean back to first base. Jared behind on the hitter. His problem area this evening so far has been being high. You're not finishing off the pitch. I heard somebody said, make sure you follow through, but 2-0 the count here as he throws to first base. As if the runner wasn't already staying close to the bag, I have a feeling he's probably going to stay a little closer now.
Yeah.
He was already nervous, and then he got called out.
He doesn't look real comfortable out there, does he?
No, not at all.
2-0 the count, two outs. And inside strike. 2-1 the count. Again, the Bulldogs in the bottom of the first inning. 11 batters went to the plate. We are in the second inning for Westbrook, and they are now at hitter number 7. Off-speed pitch, swinging strike, so he count evens at 2-2. Two balls, two strikes, two outs. Runner at first. Jarek with the pitch. That's a little high. Jaron looks for the potential snap throw down to first base, and the runner is already standing on the bag. So
he checked it every time. He's going to get it if he don't get back.
So payoff pitch here for Jarek with the count full on the batter. The ball is low and away, so the only three base runners so far this evening for Westbrook Wildcats have been by virtue of the walk. Jaron asked if the batter actually went. It didn't look like he did, and indication is he did not. So he will keep his place on first. Runner moves down to second. So first and second, two outs number 8 hitter. Brown's coming up for White House here. Jerry goes out to have a brother in the conference with Jerry.
Bring the heat.
Yeah, probably want something like just throw strikes and we're out of here.
Yeah.
We're good. So we'll see how good Jerry is with his you know, counseling skills here. First ball hits a shortstop to second base, and one pitch after Jaron talks to Jerry, they get the out, so I'm going to go ahead and give him an A for that consultation. No runs, no hits, 2 men left, getting ready to go into the bottom of the second inning. Iowa Bulldogs with a 6-0 lead here in this regional semifinal game.
Yeah, and thanks to all the sponsors who support these broadcasts. And the sponsor is Iowa Baptist Church. Iowa Baptist Church seeks to make disciples, to make disciples through gospel-centered preaching, teaching, worship, community, and service. We have Bible classes for all ages every Sunday at 10 a.m., all about worship service. We have Vacation Bible School for all elementary age kids planned for June 19th through the 20th this summer. Head over to fbciowa.com for more information. Go Bulldogs. Our sponsor for the broadcast is Kimpak. Kimpak is an oil field chemical sales and service company owned and operated by Shelby Buffkin. Kimpak has been in business since 1989. Services include oil and water analysis, truck treating, and continuous injection. We stand by our motto, we treat you right. Our sponsor is Renegade Services. Renegade, proud supporter of the Iowa Bulldogs and Curry County Youth. Renegade Services is a K-Toll wireline company to call for all your wireline needs. We specialize in logging, perforating, pipe recovery, slick line services, and NVIDIA profiles. For any information, contact Jerry Gunston at 325-207-0779. That's 325-207-0779.
And during that, PA announcer just gave the information that Nazareth had advanced. And as you would imagine from the Iowa Bulldog side, there was a pretty sizable cheer. Number one, because Tyler Goodwin is one of our own. And it's been a special time for him. They come into this series with Prez. It's the number two ranked team in A, Class A, and Iowa Bulldogs come in as the number one ranked team. And just like that, we talk about a pitcher helping himself. Jerry Pena takes an inside pitch, turns on it, and it maybe 6 inches inside the third base bag, goes down the line, and he is hustling all the way, slides into second base for a leadoff double. Again, Jarrett Cabrera will replace him at second as the courtesy runner. But excited about Iowa Bulldogs facing off against Nazareth. And it's special in that it's number one versus number two, but even more so when you have one of your family members as an Iowa Bulldog that's leading the charge there as their head coach. Wild pitch into the dirt. A swing and a miss by Drew Porter, but Cabrera able to get down to third base. Watching his walk. He's buzzing around her head a little bit and then goes back to the window. So
the week before you came in, you couldn't make it that game. They had a bird that flew in the press box with us. I'll take the bird over the wall.
Drew takes the pitch inside, even for count, 1-1. Again, 6-0. Iowa Bulldogs as we go into the bottom of the second inning. Pitch high. Jarrett Cabrera, third base. Jarrett Pena led off the bottom half of the second inning with leadoff double. Cabrera to third on a wild pitch. No outs for the Iowa Bulldogs. I think if he'd had the opportunity to take that one back, he tried to stop his swing halfway through. The pitch was going to be low, but fouls it off down the first baseline and evens the count at 2-2. quarter tight stance at the plate, and this pitch sails well over Drew's head, which is a little accomplishment since he's the tallest player on the Iowa Bulldogs team. But Cabrera able to easily jog in from third base.
Yeah, when Drew was on second at the last inning, the ball went over his head there, too.
Exactly.
It's been a constant theme for him this season.
Well, there's something all season long about balls heading toward, you know, and several of them have hit Drew. A lot of them have been close. A lot have been behind him. But, you know, it's like everybody's radar goes off.
Yeah.
When Drew's at the plate. Full count. 3 balls, 2 strikes. And this pitch, heading on the right elbow, would have been ball 4 anyway, but he throws his bat down. I'm not sure if it caught him on the elbow or the right hip. He's holding his hip as he jogs down to first base. But, again, we're really proud of Drew this year. Finished 7th in the state at the state golf tournament. Made 2nd team all state. And great accomplishment for him. Hole in one on number 13, first day of competition, which, again, is a major accomplishment. But coach comes out, and we're going to have a pitching change as the Bulldogs get a run here in the bottom of the 2nd to extend their lead to 7-0.
That was the 37th pitch for Wyatt, and so now he's going to switch spots with Marsham shortstop.
And again, as we talked about before, Bulldogs, they take advantage of mistakes, and that is one thing. But they also, and every game I've seen so far, have out-hustled their opponent. Which, like you said before, it drives an opponent crazy when they know that they have to look over their shoulder because you may take off at any time, you may throw behind them at any time. Just the little things in a ball game, and then make contact.
Well, and it gets in your mind. You know, if I throw a bad pitch and it gets behind the catcher, they're going to advance to whatever base they're at, or if we don't field this cleanly, they're going to get further.
Exactly.
Everything is, there's just not a lot of margin for error when you play the Bulldogs.
And on the opposite side, ball gets away from our catcher, and it's like, well, I've got a free run to second base and third base, and all of a sudden, the next thing you know, second baseman, third baseman, waiting with the ball because Pena picked it up and fired it down there.
That's right, yeah.
Or you nod off a little bit at first and, you know, either Jarek or Jaron throw the ball behind you and it's like, go back to the dugout. Again, difficult situation for the Wildcats. We thought that they would have a different starting pitcher tonight, but he's not available to the team. So doing what they can here in this regional semifinal game, but again, two different opponents going at each other for the 3rd time. Jaron Pena at the plate, ball way outside. Jaron easily into 2nd base as the catcher retrieves the ball. Yeah, and you're right. That would have been a totally different situation last week because most of those balls would have been returned right back to the catcher off of that concrete backstop.
And that's Drew's 3rd stolen base today. He is killing it.
Again, they're running a 2nd baseman over a cover behind Drew, and I'm not sure what the preoccupation is with him there, but pitch is in the dirt for ball 2. 7-0 is the score. Bottom of the 2nd inning. No outs for your Iowa Bulldogs. Drew Porter on 2nd base in scoring position. Jaron takes ball 3 outside. Hasn't really had anything to even, take a decent cut at so far in this at-bat. Because Goodwin is throwing him to hit the ball, but it's a foot and a half outside, so Jaron instead will walk it first, and I'm assuming in about 2 seconds, Raiden Hernandez will.
That's right. And the last inning was identical. They had not had an out yet. And then they got up here, we had Tate Castillo, and Tate Castillo got an RBI. He got out on it, but he was able to bat in the first, I think it was the first
round. First round of the, right, first round. And now feeding back up, and again,
Ira Bulldogs over halfway, number six hitter for Ira, and over halfway through the order again in just the second inning. And this time, scroll back to second base behind Drew. Drew able to go ahead and get his foot on the bag. And this time the pitcher throws to second base, and there is a cover man.
That's right. That did not happen last time.
Caden again, it's been said, was a ground out in the first inning, but started the scoring for the Iowa Bulldogs, and then the gates just kind of opened from there. A good cut. Fouls off the first pitch, 0-1. Braden Hernandez at first base, Drew Porter at second. Caden Castillo at the plate. Caden puts a ball right in front of home plate. Beautiful. He dropped it. Yep. And I think this call may be challenged. Caden, the first baseman was blocking the bag. The umpire was behind the play and calls Caden out. But clearly the first baseman was standing in the baseline, and Caden didn't have a clear opportunity to get to the bag. I believe he would have been safe. He would have advanced. And so home plate umpire calling for, or the first base umpire calling for umpire at home, who calls in the other two, four-man crew tonight. And in my 30 years of umpiring experience, I would say that this is going to be overturned, but you never know. Now they did overturn the call. And again, another hustle play. Caden put a beautiful bunt about 4 or 5 feet in front of home plate. The throw went to first base, but as he tried to cross the bag, he went down hard because the first baseman had his foot in front of the bag instead of to the side of the bag. So because of defensive interference, bases are now loaded. And Holden Rios off with no outs in the bottom of the second inning. 7-0 is the score. Iowa Bulldogs on top, looking for more. Pitch inside, ball one. And again, Castillo, even if he had been out, it was a beautiful sacrifice bunt.
Yeah, absolutely. Did exactly what he was supposed to do, and he hustled through, and when he hustled, good things happened.
You got it. Strike called on the outside corner. 1-1 is the count to Holden Rios. Runners take their lead. And the pitch shot off the catcher's helmet. And he was walking around with it. That was quite a ricochet right there. Holden, 1-2 is the count. Again, bases full of Bulldogs. No outs here in the bottom of the second. One run already across. 6 runs in the bottom of the first for a 7-0 lead. And he just puts it right up the middle. Just puts the bat out there. Pitch goes right back up the middle where it came from. And 2 runs will score on a 2-strike, 2-RBI hit by Holden Rios. And again, that is just an excellent job of hitting. The pitch came right over the middle of the plate. Holden puts his bat out. Didn't try to do too much with it. Ball goes right past the pitcher, right over the second base. And 2 more runs score. Sends the lead 9-0 for the Iowa Bulldogs.
And it wasn't a hard-hitting ball. It
no.
Perfectly placed right over second base.
And no throw down to second as Iowa Bulldogs look at the runner at third, so Holden gets into the scoring position at second base. Second and third, no outs. Allen the batter, 1-0 is the count, and he hits one. Shortstop gave the glove in a deep short. And again, it looked like the first baseman came off the bag, but the umpire called him out. And Coach Goodwin's going to check with him and decides to go ahead and let this one go. But that was almost like Castillo's play.
Yeah, that first baseman just got right there and didn't give him a clear pass. But when you're up 10-0 in the bottom of the second with one out, I guess you can let it.
Exactly. And Coach waited till the runner got over there, asked him what happened, pat him on the shoulder, says, "Hey, you
got you an RBI.
You got an RBI. Let's take it and go and take you out." Rios to third. Lexton Hernandez at the plate. 1-0 is the count. And as Ben said, our Bulldogs now up 10-0 here in the bottom of the second inning. Called strike. Count even at 1-1.
And Lexton's a nice batter in the order, so after him is Anthony at the top of the order, which is the second inning in a row that the Bulldogs have been able to go through the whole lineup.
And little liberty at the plate there. that ball well outside the catcher had to cross his body with his glove, but called strike two. Maybe the umpire knows we do better with two strikes anyway. I don't know, but 1-2 is the count. Pitch is high. Lexton doing a good job eyeballing that one all the way in. Count now even again at 2-2. Again, one out, bottom of the second inning. Four runs have crossed so far this half inning after six in the first. So 10-0 is the lead. And Holden Rios gets a little far off the bag. Pitcher throws over. The ball gets away from third baseman, but not enough for Holden to get up and attempt to come home. So far, Jarek has allowed no hit, has walked three batters, which is a little out of character for him, but big game. I mean, and that's the thing. Sometimes your nerves get to you, and you overthrow a little bit, but able to settle in.
And I think two of those three were at the very beginning of the game.
Right.
And once he kind of settled down, he was ready to roll.
Jackson Hernandez swings that fits maybe a little high out of the zone, but goes down on the count for out number two. And again, as Ben said, we're back to the top of the order. Anthony Luna, and he puts one out into center field. Looks like this should be an easy play for the center fielder, and it is caught out there for out number three, but not before the Iowa Bulldogs put four more runs on the board. 10-0 is the score after two, and Jarek Pena getting ready to come out for the top of the third inning.
The sponsor for the broadcast is Doug and Susie White, their lifetime Iowa resident, supporter of the Iowa Bulldogs, second generation graduate with two sons and a grandson to graduate from Iowa. Orange and black run through their veins. Go Bulldogs! Their sponsor is First Baptist Church in Snyder, located at 1712 27th Street in Snyder. Start your Sundays off with one of our many Bible studies that are available for all ages, and then join us in our worship center on Sundays at 10:15. Our praise team needs you in worship, and our pastor, Ben Reed, provides the message. You can join live via Facebook live stream. You will be welcomed with love in a relaxed environment. Be sure to stop by the FCC Welcome Center for a cup of coffee and donuts. For more information, visit our website at fccsnyder.org. Knowing Christ and making Him known. Our sponsor is Mark and Sheila Harless, backing the Bulldogs in all that they do. So that's we made it through all the sponsors one time. Thank you, sponsors, so much for supporting these broadcasts and all that you do. You mentioned earlier about Westport struggles with their pitching, and one of the huge advantages the Bulldogs have is they don't have just one pitcher. They really have five.
Right. And that's the thing. I printed off some of our stats of our pitchers. Of course, we're undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
So none of the pitchers has taken a loss. But I want you to look at the ERA. Over the course of the season, the team ERA is 1.478. So to allow less than an average of 1.5 runs per game, we've got Jarek Pena is having an ERA of 0.
Yeah, he's a starter.
He's a starter. He has not allowed an earned run in any of the games that he's played. You know, so I mean, Graydon Partain, 1.05. Anthony Luna, 2.43. You know, it's just phenomenal to have that many good pitchers on the same team, but to be that consistent as well. So we get into a three-game series. It's really hard for a team to go three games with it.
Absolutely.
Which we hadn't seen that third game yet. And a called third strike after two swinging strikes by the first batter of the third inning for White House. And three pitches, one out. And we are one out into the third inning, and White House, Westbrook has just batted through the order for the first time. Lead off hitter Larson.
This is Jared's 35th pitch of the game.
And that will be a hit into left field as Larson turns on the first pitch inside about belt high, and he just met it right at the right time and able to go ahead and lift a solid single for the first hit of the game for the Wildcats.
Yeah, but this is what we were saying. You don't get to relax when you're on first. You
exactly.
You could get picked off so quickly.
Well, and typically in a situation like this, the runner is in charge.
Yeah.
Because, you know what you want to do. You look and see where the fielders are. You know what the pitcher's throwing and all of that. But it's not that way with the Bulldogs because, just like that, Jared just threw a ball high. Jaron ready to fire to second or down to first base, either one, but the runner's already making his way back to the bag. And I think we have some headlights out in the parking lot. Third base umpire just came in, called time. The headlights shine straight across from the right field foul line to left field. So basically the whole left side of the infield is affected by it. So they're trying to get them to turn their lights off. And the tip of the cap by the third base umpire to the car owner for getting the light off. So,
you know, that's harder. It's some of those new vehicles. I don't have a truck.
I know. And I'm not sure on mine. They come on automatically, and it's like, how does that work? 1-0 is the count. Base runner on first. Foul tip into Jaron's glove. Count evens at 1-1. Walter is the batter, the catcher for the Westbrook Wildcats. Struck out the first time up. Jarek with a nasty change stayed up just a little bit high.
He wanted to swing it.
He did. He kind of double clutched on that one. But count goes to 2-1. Again, Iowa Bulldogs up 10-0 here in the top of the third inning. Called strike on that breaking ball. Jarek, now you consider to be ahead in the count with a 2-2 because you've got one to play with. Boulder stays alive, fouls the ball off the first base side over the fence. Count remains 2-2, one out here in the top of the third. And again, leadoff is typically one of your best base dealers, and he's only got maybe a 6-foot lead off the bag, just respecting both arms. Jaron Pena with the throw, and the runner did not even try to go down because he was thrown out about 6 feet away from the bag. As Jaron throws a pitch to Jaron that he could easily handle. Again, we said 2-2 count, you've got a pitch to waste. And Jaron did it. He threw it up so Jaron would have it in stride and potential base dealer down just like that. Is ball four on the batter with two outs now. That's a laser. Absolute laser.
He took off as soon as Jaron started his windup. and Darren was able to get the ball there to where I think it was Anthony who got the ball. He just stood there and had to wait for the runner to come.
And the runner, actually about 12, 14 feet away from the bag, realized the ball was there, and he just walked into the tag. I mean, there was no chance at an attempt to evade the tag. It got there so fast. Darren could, you know, have a Dr. Pepper back there and finish the can and then throw down and still.
Well, that's been a difference in the game. The Bulldogs have been able to get on second as soon as they get on first.
Right.
The Wildcats haven't been able to advance at all.
And Jerick almost throws his base runner first out on a pickoff move as he goes diving back into the bag.
It's just such a quick throw from both brothers.
And it's effortless.
Yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely effortless. Ball hit into the hole at short. Kind of a seeing eye single there. Luna tried to get to it. Brighton came across, and it was able to just get between both of their gloves for the second hit of the half inning.
And that's the same spot. Both
exactly.
Both hitters have got you in this inning. It's been right there in between short and third.
And Larson's hit was just a hit the ball in the nose hit. That one was just a three-hopper through the hole between short and third base. So two outs still, runners for first and second for Westbrook as they attempt to get something on the board here. Jerick does a 180 spin to second base. Luna with the coverage and almost threw the runner out that session. This is just fun.
Yeah, there you go. And the Wildcats are trying to keep the game alive, but the Bulldogs do have them by 10 right now.
Pitch on the outside corner of the plate for strike one. And again, not much of a leadoff second base, but Jerick made that because of his spin and the velocity of his throw to second, a really close play. Wind up and the pitch. Ball hit foul for the third base Iowa Bulldog dugout. So
Jerick's at 45 pitches for the evening now. So that's something to watch in the top of the third.
Right. 45 pitches, no runs across yet. Two hits this half inning. Still has not allowed a run to cross the plate. And just off the outside of the plate, is he put an extra little helping oomph on that one.
And you can hear him from up here. You know he's grunting.
One and two is the count. Two outs. Runners at first and second. Pena throws back.
And he gets it in time.
The throwback to second.
Did you see what they did?
Yes.
Anthony kept in front of him trying to toss him up and distracted the runner so he couldn't get back.
Yeah. And Anthony got there, and then Lexan goes to the bag, takes the delivery from Jerick. And the runners attempt to get back, get tagged. Umpire looks, and he is out. So three pickoffs so far tonight. Pickoff for first, pickoff for second, throws the runner out at second base on an attempted steal. So defense really becomes offense for the Iowa Bulldogs.
Absolutely. Just such a beautiful play, well orchestrated by Luna and by Hernandez.
Yes.
But who Lexan didn't really go to cover second,
no.
So the runner wasn't looking.
The runner was looking at Lexan and was like, okay, he's not covering. And all of a sudden,
and then Anthony cut in front of him, so he didn't have an eye to see when Jerick turned around, and it was just a beautiful executing play. Another sponsor for the broadcast is Pizza Inn. Pizza Inn has a buffet and salad bar all day. They have a great team price. So call ahead and let them know you're coming. Church of God is a proud supporter of the Iowa Bulldogs. Our mission is making Jesus known and loving others. Check out our Facebook page at Iowa Church of God. Sonic Drive-In with half-price drinks all day long in the Sonic app. Family night every Tuesday from 5 to close and half-price burgers. Snyder Iron and Metal with 5 locations. Snyder, Sweetwater, Hanson, Andrews, and Big Spring. Top price to pay you for all recyclable metals, aluminum, copper, brass, stainless steel, car body, iron, and tin with structural pipe and rods available. Texas Farm Bureau with agent Stormy Sellers. Call Stormy Sellers at 940-674-5435 to see if you qualify to save up to 40% on your auto insurance. That's 940-674-5435.
504-345-3535. The sponsor is Community Bank of Snyder. Thank you, Community Bank, for sponsoring. Industrial Hose and Oil Field Supply is your one-stop shop for all your oil field supply needs. These are pipe, valve, fittings, oil field hoses, and hydraulic hoses. Services are number one priority. Go Bulldogs.
You know, sometimes you'll look at a box score and it tells you all you need to know about a ball game. Tonight's not one of those times. Because you look at the box score up there, and I would disagree with the official score on at least one of those. It has five hits for the Iowa Bulldogs, but we scored 10 runs, and it was three errors for Westbrook. They gave Caden Castillo, they gave the defense an error on that bunt. I would have given him a bunt single because he would have been cleanly across the bag had there not been interference there. But if you look and see five hits, you definitely would not expect to see 10 runs.
Yeah.
You know, on the board.
Yeah, and they're hitting on the second hitter from Westbrook, Larson. He's at 20 pitches already, and he's the second pitcher they've had in the game.
Wow. Yeah, Brenton Partain takes ball three outside, 3-0, as the leadoff hitter for Iowa Bulldogs here in the bottom of the third inning. 10-0 is the score. And you look at his box score, five hits to two hits. And then you would have somebody to guess the score.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, 3-0, you know, 2-1. What? Yeah. No, that's taking advantage of mistakes, but also being extremely aggressive on the base pass. Yeah, go ahead. Right. Once that one back.
Yeah. And
as soon as he swung, he knew it was high inside, and count's going full now, but just could not lay off that portion enough to go ahead and I just harmlessly hit it out of play. Three balls, two strikes. And the ball bounces about a foot and a half in front of home plate as the pitcher just tried to guide that one in. So lead off batter on by virtue of a walk.
Number two, Jared Pena.
Jared Pena, last time Jared was up, he hit a ball just inside the third baseline, throw it out to left field for a double. If you look at his stance, it is so open right now. You know that he's trying to turn on the ball, so his left foot is way out in front and is headed toward third base already before the pitch even gets there. So that bat is going to turn quickly on the pitch. Pitcher not bringing a whole lot of heat. So that first one fouled off to the third base side. It's not a one-hop throw to second base. The ball gets away. Brayton thinks about taking off the curve. The center fielder quickly in, able to pick the ball up. Get it back to the infield. So stolen base for Brighton and another runner in scoring position for the Bulldogs. Jarek with an 0-2 count now. 10-0 is the score, bottom of the third. And the pitch high outside for ball one. And again, you mentioned the pitch count, you know, already on both hitters, batters this half inning.
She's tried.
Ball low. Count evens at 2-2.
Larson quickly gets up there. He's at 28 now. And just for reference, Jarek has pitched off three innings for Bulldogs at 26.
And this is not the starting pitcher for Westbrook. This is the one who came in midway through last inning. So you're not even talking about an inning and a half of work yet.
As a team, they've got to be creeping towards 80 pitches total. And that may be what's more clear with the body score.
Exactly. That's very true. Full count for the second batter in a row for the Bulldogs. And same thing that happened with the first hitter, Brighton Partain, on a full count. Pitcher short hops the ball to the plate. Catcher's able to go ahead and block it. But now, Jarrett Pena down at first. Brighton Partain at second.
Drew the magnet Porter.
Drew the magnet. The baseball magnet Porter. If there was ever any kind of electrical current.
There you go.
Inside the third baseline, Drew smashes one. One run is going to score. Jarrett Pena slides safely into third on a long single. Well, here at Bowen, basically on that, it looked like Bruce said, you know, if you're going to pitch inside to me, I'll just go ahead and take it. But that one right over the bag at third and just inches inside the foul line in left field.
And Coach Goodwin left Jarrett in to run, which I didn't notice earlier. It's been Jarrett Cabrera who's come in to be a courtesy runner for him.
Yeah, and Jarrett looked when he was at second base and kind of made a motion, and Coach was like, we're good. You know, just go ahead and play it out here. Is Drew Porter just trying his best to get a throw down to second base to slow down. He's like, come on, try to get me. But with Jarrett at third, there's no way the catcher's going to go ahead. I think there's no way. We already saw a ball thrown into center field on an attempted pickoff by a pitcher in the first inning.
Yeah, Drew was just taunting him, trying to get him to throw that ball, because as soon as he did, Jarrett would have been, been home before it would have been.
Exactly. 2-0 is the count. Runners are second and third. No outs here in the bottom of the third inning. One run is already scored. And the count on Jarrett Pena now 3-0.
Oh,
and a towering fly ball to left field.
Caught that.
And it is caught by the left fielder. Jarrett able to tag up and score, but almost got his feet tangled up out there. Goes down, but able to go ahead and hang on to the ball. As Jarrett gets an RBI with a fly out to left, first out of the bottom of the third. Drew Porter still at second. And since we're going to third, saying that he thought the runner had left early. Westbrook fans upset said that he never tagged up. He was actually, because I was watching, and it's easy when you have a play in left field. He was standing on the bag when that ball went out there to the left fielder. He was actually standing there.
Jaren just crushed that ball. I mean, it went a long way away, so.
And if he hit it more on the line, it may have had a shot at the wall, but it was as high as it was as it was long.
And
Caden Castillo, the DH tonight, off to the plate, takes ball one. Again, Porter at second base, two runs in. Caden with a fly ball to center field. And that's caught for out number two of the half inning. 12-0 is the score. Our Bulldogs on top in this one-game set for the regional semifinal championship. Again, the winner of tonight's game will take on Nazareth next week. Nazareth coached by Tyler Goodwin. Not only a graduate of Ira, but also Coach Goodwin's son, so makes for an interesting dynamic. Castillo hits sharp single up the middle. The ball is picked up by the pitcher and kind of got to go with the Westbrook fans a little on this one. As the pitcher gets the ball, turns and fires home. Drew Porter with a good slide at home, but looks like the throw might have beaten him just by a little, but he is called safe by the home plate umpire. Third inning, or third run of the half inning, bottom of the third for Iowa Bulldogs.
And another base stolen by Drew Porter. And that's Holby's third at bat. That's his third hit. And all three of his hits have come just right over second base.
And they've all been line shots, but they haven't been you know, overly powerful hits, but they're just putting the bat on the ball and putting the ball in play. 0-1 is the count, and the ball goes into right center field. Holden with the running start, able to go ahead and go from first to third on the hit. And we come up with Lexton Hernandez again, our Bulldogs, getting through their lineup once again.
Lexton's hitting us tonight, but we watched him last week crush them. And
boy, he did.
He had a in-the-park home run. I can't remember if it was last week or the week before.
Lexton, strike one, swinging a strike. As Allen takes second on catcher indifference.
Yeah. It didn't taunt him as much as Drew did.
Exactly. Runners are second and third for the Bulldogs. Two outs. 0-1 is the count. Left into right field. This is going to drop in front of the right fielder. One run is going to score. He throws. They throw home. Two runs score as Allen able to go ahead and get in. Again, timely hit by Lexton Hernandez. Goes opposite field. And the lead extends 15-0. For the Bulldogs here in the bottom of the third, six runs, bottom of the first, four in the second, and five so far here with two outs in the bottom of the third as Anthony Luna up again for, this is what, the fourth time that, the fourth time Anthony's been up now in three innings. Bulldogs just making contact, keeping the ball in play. Anthony with a high pop-up, shortstop calling for the ball and has it for the third out of the inning, but not before the Bulldogs put five more runs on the board. They will take their defensive positions with a 15-0 lead here in the regional semifinal game and well on their way to their regional final matchup.
Sponsors for the broadcast include Taylor Ranch. Taylor Ranch is a proud supporter of the Iowa Bulldog Athletics and wishes them the best of luck in that.
Wishes them something very good.
Best of luck. I grew up with cursive, but every time I see it, it still throws me off a little. Baseball playoffs, go get them dogs. Thank you, Taylor Ranch. Arrowhead Ranch is a proud supporter of the Iowa Bulldogs. Arrowhead Ranch wishes the Bulldogs best of luck this season. Go Bulldogs. Ira Boosters Club, proud supporters of all Ira ISD students. Ira Baptist Church seeks to make disciples who make disciples through gospel-centered preaching, teaching, worship, community, and service. We have Bible classes for all ages every Sunday at 10 a.m. followed by a worship service through the Vacation Bible School for Elementary Kids planned for June 19th to the 24th this summer. Head over to fbcira.com for more information. Go Bulldogs!
Jaron almost took Jarek's head off. Jarek came off the mound, and Jaron took that ball low and outside to throw it to second. And Jarek got to look at Jaron like, yeah, that would have hurt really bad.
Jaron's still a starting pitcher. He's at 46 pitches.
46, I tell you, 46 pitches through three innings.
Yeah.
You know, 15 pitches per inning. Is amazing.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's walked four.
Yeah.
I mean, you have four walks as a part of that, and he's still only throwing 46 pitches. But tentatively, we're looking at a potential three-game set next week as Nazareth and Ira have already had some preliminary discussions, as you figure a father and son would, on potential matchup, and we're looking right now at the possibility of the game is being played at Lubbock Cooper's ball field, which is just south of Lubbock, Tahoka Highway north, but again, that's all tentative, and they'll iron those details out after this game is official and the Iowa Bulldogs do advance, but something we're looking at. Don't know what days it would be, but it's going to be something different for us because graduation is tomorrow. So these guys are going to continue to practice and play. Some of them after their high school you know, academic careers are already over.
That's right.
Jarrett pitch number one, strike on the batter. High outside for ball one. Again, top of the fourth inning. Leadoff batter, 15-0 is the score. Iowa Bulldogs well in control of this one. Hugh Hopper to Hernandez at second. He gets himself set, and we're having issues. The only place we're having issues tonight is with the first base umpire. Throw a little wide at first base. Drew thought that he had his foot still on the bag when he collected the throw. First base umpire said he was pulled off of the bag, so be an error on the throw, and Westbrook would lead off that.
It's like you're supposed to.
Yeah. And he didn't overstretch. It didn't look like his momentum really pulled him off the bag, but by any count, leadoff hitter for Westbrook is on. 0-1 the count for Jarrett. It's a little low, even the count 1-1. Again, top of the fourth inning. Westbrook they have had two runners in scoring position. One got picked off before the inning was over, and the other was stranded with runners at first and second base in the second inning. Other than that, there hasn't really been a scoring threat from the Wildcats in this ballgame. Count goes to 1-2, and swinging strike three. And Jerry racks up out number one here in the top of the fourth. Nine hits to two, officially, in the scorebook. 15-0 is the score. The delivery, and Jaron knew he had an opportunity that time. The runner was a little farther off first and just kind of fumbled the ball just ever so slightly, getting it out of his mitt, not able to make a throw down. But he wanted to badly. Ball outside, 1-0 is the count. And attempted bunt. Ball is fouled back toward the screen, so count evens at 1-1. That's the other thing about Jaron too, is not only does he have a live arm, but he's also quick behind the plate.
Yeah, you notice Sam, and I was noticing compared to the other catcher, Jaron pops up really, really quickly, where at my age, my knees would be killing me.
At my age, I don't even think about it. You hop up?
Do what?
Hop.
No.
Yeah.
That would he'd take you to the home.
It would. But Jaron very active behind the plate and sure helps set up pitches for his brother. Again, this one way up over the backstop. Attempted bunt again for strike two. And the thing is, you watch Jaron, it's like, he's got his mask off. When did he take his mask off?
Yeah.
Because it's just a fluid motion, and all of a sudden, he's back here with his, helmet in one hand.
He is a phenomenal catcher.
1-2 is the count. One out by virtue of strikeout this inning, and make that two, both by virtue of strikeouts, as Jarrett rings up his second swinging strike out of the inning. Two outs. Leadoff runner still on first base and not venturing very far off the bag.
And he is, I just found this feature, you may have already known it, but I can look at how many strikes and pitches, and
right,
he's at 72% strike this inning, which is higher than his other inning, so he's just getting better.
And he has called strike right there on the outside corner. And that's the other thing, his location has gotten better.
Yeah.
As well. And sometimes, and we talked about this a little bit at Holly against Gorman, sometimes when you're as strong a pitcher as what Jarrett is, you overthrow.
Yeah.
And you don't mean to, but you overthrow because your arm is so live. And then when it gets tighter, if the game goes on, he struck the last three batters out
yeah.
in that second game. against Gorman. And here we are in the fourth inning. He's already thrown how many pitches? 50-some pitches.
This will be his 60th.
And he strikes the side out.
Yeah.
You know, because a little bit has come off, the control is there, and the ball's coming down. So leadoff batter gets on by virtue of an error, but Jerry makes quick work of the rest of the Westbrook order and strikes out the side as we go to the bottom of the fourth inning. Our Bulldogs leading 15-0.
And sponsored for the broadcast is Kimpac. Kimpac, an oil chemical sales and service company owned and operated by Shelby Buffkin. Kimpac has been in business since 1989. Services include oil and water analysis, prep treating, and continuous injection. We stand by our motto, we treat and you ride. Renegade Services, proud supporters of the Iowa Bulldogs in Curry County, uses Renegade Services as a case, hole, and wireline company to call for all your wireline needs. We specialize in logging, perforating, pipelines, connect line services, and NVIDIA profiles. For any information, contact Gary Gunston at 325-207-0779. 325-207-0779. Another sponsor is Doug and Susie White. They don't have anything to sell.
No.
But for now,
so Doug and Susie, great sponsor of the Ira Bulldogs.
Absolutely. Ira in their blood, orange and black, the Bulldogs. First Baptist Church in Snyder, located at 1712 27th Street in Snyder. Start your Sundays off with one of our many Bible studies that are available for all ages. And join us in our worship center on Sundays at 10:15. Our praise and worship team leads you in worship, and our pastor, Ben Reed, provides the message. You can also join via Facebook live stream. You'll be welcomed with love in a relaxed environment, and be sure to stop by and visit the FBC Welcome Center for a cup of coffee and donuts. For more information, visit FBCSnyder.org, knowing Christ, making him known.
Well, if you didn't know any better, you would think it was the bottom of the third because we're starting off with the same right partain leading things off here. And I wanted to mention, too, Ben, and we've done it, all, tried to do it all year, but really appreciate the sponsors for these playoff games.
Yeah.
And we try to get in as many as we can. We've had a lot of shortened games because of how efficient the Iowa Bulldogs have been. But, you know, I kind of joked with Ben about his speed reading, but, you know, the whole deal of it is we appreciate so much you sponsoring the game, and you deserve, you know, us getting you on the air, and we appreciate so much your support of Iowa Bulldog Athletics. So, you know, you may speed read some, but it's all worth it, and it's all done, and trying to go ahead and show the appreciation for our sponsors that they really deserve. Two balls and one strike is the count on Brighton here in the bottom of the fourth inning. 15-0 is the score, and Bulldogs don't get another run this half inning. All we have to do at this point, as the ball sails down in a fall in foul territory down right field.
That's Carson's 46th pitch. He's the second pitcher for Westbrook, and Jarrett is sitting with 60 pitches. He's the only pitcher the Bulldogs have had in an extra inning.
Wow.
I think there's your story.
There, you don't have to look at the box score. All you have to do is look at the pitching and the pitch count, and you kind of get a better picture of why the Iowa Bulldogs have 15 runs. Not so much about the 9 hits, not so much about the 3 errors, but just the way that we have taken almost every pitcher every time to a full count. I mean, just battled and just keep going ahead and racking up that pitch count.
And in this game, what's been encouraging looking at the last two games is the Bulldogs have scored every half inning.
Right.
Where in the last two games we've done, they'll be real hot for one inning and then the offense kind of cool. But the offense has stayed on fire this whole game. And even right now, with Brighton up at 2-2 count, he fouled 3 balls off.
Exactly.
And so now Larson's at 48 with a 2-2 count and no out.
And again, you know, it's just like Brighton's narrowing the radar in. You know, this time looks a long fly ball to right center. And that's the thing. I was looking at it the way it was tracking. The center fielder wasn't really pursuing it that hard, and it didn't look like it was hit that deep, and it falls right in front of him for well, probably should have been a flyout, but instead it's a single to shallow left center.
And it was a high ball, and it was super deep. Any one of two or three guys could have got to it.
And plenty of time. You're right. The left fielder, right, or the center fielder, shortstop, all of them had an opportunity, but nobody really went after it. First pitch to Jared Pena is low, 1-0 to count.
Scoreboard is acting up.
Yeah, it's doing some weird thing. I noticed that until you look up, it's like, okay, there's no lights on this side, now there's lights on that side. That turned from a 4 to an 8, you know. 3 errors to 7 errors. Bryce Partain takes off for second base, beats the throw, slides safely into second.
And that's another, you know, when Jaron throws it, the ball gets there. And you know, that catcher took one bounce to get there. So Bryce
takes the bounce to get there, and he just takes arcs. That's the thing about Jaron. He throws just a laser line drive. It's way outside.
If you are the pitcher, you got to get out of the way.
Yeah. I figure Jarek and Jaron have done this so many times with each other over the course of both their careers. I mean, you know, 3 years difference in their age, but their abilities are pretty equal at this point, this stage in their careers. But I'm wondering how many times each of them has hit the other one. Ball four high outside to Jared Pena, and again, like last half inning, Jared's staying in the game.
Here's the magnet.
Drew the Magnet Porter. And pitch is high. You can tell pitcher's arm is just pretty much dead at this point.
He's at 55 pitches, so he's five less than.
And he may, at this point, he hasn't pitched a whole lot this year. Maybe in uncharted territory for him, having thrown that many pitches.
Drew wanted that one. It spun him around. He swung so hard.
He did. He spun all the way around. About that time, a dove comes flying down between the home plate and the pitching rubber. It's like, you might not want to be there. Drew gets a hold of one. He's back. Smacked a bird out of the sky there. Hits inside. Count goes 2-1. 15-0 is the score. Bottom of the fourth. No outs. Bulldogs at first and second. And ball three outside. Drew's just trying to find something to hit, but, well, I take that back. That ball sure looked outside, but it was a called strike. I saw Drew step out of the batter's box and turn all the way around, and kind of wondered why until I looked back up the scoreboard and saw it was 2-2. That pitch low, so now the count goes full. He had a full count last time when he got pegged with the pitch. This time he hits the ball to right field. Right fielder there, able to go ahead and get it. Jared Pena tags at second and goes to third. The throw down to third is late. And so now runners at second and third. Fly ball to right field is an out, but it advances both runners into scoring position. As Jaron Pena comes to the plate.
Jaron crushed it last
he did.
Last time for left field deep.
Yeah, I thought I was over the head of the left fielder, able to go ahead and get back, but kind of a similar situation to where he was able to go ahead and get his brother in from third base, and we're kind of same situation right here. Strike on the outside corner. 0-1 is the count. One out here in the bottom of the fourth. Jaron, big swing on that one. Pitches low. finds himself in the hole in the count 0-2. That's why the Bulldogs have been so good this year, just making contact and not taking that third strike. It's high and outside. That's one thing you have to imagine, too, as a catcher. You see everything behind the plate, so when you get up at the at-bat, you kind of zero in on every aspect of the pitch. Pretty well know where it's going to end. This time a drive to left center field. This one I don't believe is going to be caught. As it gets down, one run will score. Stand-up double for Pena. The ball is held up. And two more runs. Then as Partain and Derek Pena both score. The lead now 17-0. Reagan Hernandez going to courtesy run for Jarrett.
Same spot for Jarrett. He's a little bit further to the right.
Exactly.
And was able to fall. Both the outfielders fell down, and he was able to get a stand-up double on this baby.
And again, a two-strike pitch. And just drives the ball back in the direction that it came in. Hernandez at second, one out. 0-1 is the count.
And this is Caden Castillo.
66 in basically 1 2/3 innings. He came in with two outs in the third inning. Or in the second inning, rather. 0-2, the count on Castillo now as he fouls the ball wide of the third base. Hernandez with the lead at second, one out. It's just high, almost gets away from the catcher. He had a fairly good glove on it for ball one, 1-2. Again, Westbrook with two hits on the evening. Two runners have reached second base, one picked off, but no one has advanced to third for Westbrook on the evening. Swing and strike three. The ball gets under the catcher's glove. He has no idea where it is. Caden heads down to first base. He is safe at first. Hernandez advances to third. The catcher's asking for help. He had no idea where the ball was, and he was looking at the pitcher, and it had come all the way back to the backstop here. And it looks like we're going to have a substitution here for Castillo.
That's Caden Forey.
Yeah, Caden Forey coming in to run at first base for Caden Castillo. Tell me right.
Caden for Caden. And we've got Martin at 68 pitches right now.
Wow.
And this is his, he's pitched 26 pitches this inning, which is the most he's pitched in any inning since he's come in.
With one out.
And he's getting a 57% strike call, which is better than he's done in the other ones, but he had to battle through so many of them.
And we've also been pretty well lighting him up here. Got a strike call on that one on the outside corner. 0-1 is the count as Caden Forey takes off and goes down to second, so two runners in scoring position again for the Howard Bulldogs. 17-0 is the score here in the bottom of the fourth inning. Ball gets away from the catcher, and there is no play at the plate. As Braden Hernandez able to easily get in again on I don't know if you call that a wild pitch or a fastball. At this point, it really doesn't matter. The ball got away, and Bulldogs taking advantage of the opportunity. 18-0 now. 1-1 is the count. Strike two called on the outside corner, holding behind in the count 1-2.
So much of the Bulldogs' best. Like we said, it's coming because once they get on the first base, they're so quick at getting around.
That exactly.
This ball like that goes by, they're able to get home as opposed to getting back.
Good job by the catcher that time as the ball is way off the plate, but he's able to go ahead and break down and stop it from getting back to the backstop. Would have obviously been another run for the Iowa Bulldogs. Count 2-2 on Holden Rios. And once again, Holden just puts the bat out, puts the ball in play, and is down at first as Caden Foray scores.
Holden is 4-for-4, and it's been deadly because Zane is 3-for-3 in the game so far, too. So both of those guys have been hitting the ball so well tonight.
And that's the thing about the Bulldogs this year, too. You know, you have an upper part of the order, you have a middle, and you have a lower part of the order.
Mm-hmm.
Not with the Bulldogs. Because basically, the lower part of the order set the table for the leadoff.
Well, Zane's your seventh hitter, or Holden is your seventh hitter.
Right.
Your eighth.
Right.
So by the time you get up to the top of the order.
And the thing with this, Holden and Zane and Lexton are on base so often. Zane and Lexton have good speed. And then you get back to the top of the order where you have Anthony Luna, who is an amazing contact hitter. And there's no relief anywhere for an opposing pitcher in their entire batting lineup. Zane with a swinging strike two, the count 1-2, one out. Zane with a very open stance too, so he's trying his best to take his ball down the right field line. He said that ball was a little tight.
Yeah.
He does his best contortionist impression, able to avoid being hit. Even the count at 2-2, one out here in the bottom of the fourth inning, four runs already across the plate. And again, how many times now have we gone to a full count just in this half inning? 3-2, here's the count. And like you said, just like that, Zane with a hit right up the middle. Hits way outside, but he's able to reach out as it's an open stance that drives it over second base. And Bulldogs now with runners from first and second.
This is 19-0, and this is going to be Larson's 80th pitch.
Wow. And we're about to go, the fourth time through the batting order in four innings.
This will be Anthony's fifth time to bat, yeah.
Yeah, so Luna's about to come up, and that will be your fifth time in four innings. And I'd say, wow, but we did that the last playoff game against Gorman as well. And that's the thing, you know, you don't want to take your foot off the gas pedal because it's contrary to the way the Bulldogs play this year. And, you know, you just keep doing what you do best.
There might be a little here, if you remember, back in football, it was Westbrook who put the Bulldogs out of the
right.
playoff. And just
there's added incentive.
And so I think it's important, especially when you're 1A, it's the same group of kids playing sports, and you've got a bunch of boys who respond, and instead of putting their heads down, is bulking up and ready to go play some baseball.
Exactly.
And you reverse it on them.
And that's also the thing, because we are in West Texas, and because of our region being so widespread, like being able to go ahead and foul off on an 0-2 count, stay alive, but you end up going to a place like Crane to play your first-round game. And then you have to go some distance for your second-round game. By the time you get to the third-round game so many times, you end up playing a team in your district or a neighboring district that you know real well. And that's what's happened here. Lexton, I love that kid. He knew the pitch was going to hit him. He came right in. He just moved the bat out of the way and takes it off his left shoulder and gets down to first base.
And Westbrook is not a bad team.
No, they're not.
They've only got two losses. It's just both losses are to the Bulldogs.
Both losses. And that's the thing. If their season ends tonight, You've lost three times in a season, all to the same team, to the one team. And that's been it.
Here's Anthony Luna back up for his fifth time.
And I know four, and it may be more hitters than that, the last four hitters, the pitcher has gotten a called strike one on all four of them. Mm-hmm.
He's 85 pitches now.
And it's when, you know, we talked last week about the Gorman pitcher having 92.
Mm-hmm.
But this is in a relief effort.
Yeah. And so, his 44th and fifth inning.
So that's incredible.
And basically, you know, you're in a situation where you had no one else to go to because he would have been out of there a long time ago had they had anybody else available. And it's basically at this point just sucking it up and doing what you can for your team.
Just trying to get through the inning.
Exactly. 3-1 is the count. No place to put him as the bases are loaded with Iowa Bulldogs. 19-0 is the score. And he gets a strikeout. And Anthony looked back at the home dugout on that one, but that was, kind of a courtesy strike, but just the counts are full now. Anthony fouls the pitch off, out of play, down the first baseline.
We were talking about the bottom of the order for the Bulldogs, and all three 7-8-9 hitters, Holden, Zane, and Lexton, are on base right now for the leadoff.
Exactly.
Anthony.
When you can get one of your bottom three in the order on for a leadoff hitter, you're in great shape. You get all three, that's phenomenal. And we've done it so many times this year that it's just commonplace for us. Rather, to second base, takes a throw to second. Gets the runner out by force. Another run scores as Holden Rios comes in to score, but Westbrook gets their second out of the inning. Scores 20-0. Our Bulldogs, in their four half innings, have scored 6, 4, 5, and 5. How's that for consistency?
I mean, there's just been no offensive let up or defensive let up this whole game.
Exactly. But Partain with a foul off the right field side, out of play, into the parking lot. 0-1 is the count. Two outs, runners at first and third for the Bulldogs. Westbrook is doing their best to get that third out. And the pitch is in for a called strike two, so 0-2 is the count. And I tell you what, I've got to give major kudos to the pitcher right now because he has really sucked it up and is dug deep just to get the ball over the plate at this point after throwing so many. He is phenomenal.
That was the 93rd, and that was the 51st of the first in this inning. So he's thrown over half of all of his pitches.
51 pitches. In the bottom of the fourth inning.
Yeah. And you can tell his arm is
so hard. He's out there walking around the mound right now. Catcher called time to go talk to him, but he is trying to rotate his arm. Coach comes out of the first base dugout, and I'm not sure, you know, if they have anybody that can get the ball over the plate at all. This young man has done all he could possibly do for his team coming on in relief. And it looks like we are going to have a change here with two outs in the bottom of the fourth inning. 20-0 is the score. 1-2 count, two outs, bottom of the fourth as we have a pitching change for Westbrook.
Yeah, it was 93 pitches for Larson, who he really didn't pitch a bad game. I was looking at his numbers, and he hits a lot of strikes. He threw 51 pitches this half inning, 30 of them were for strikes, and it was his best track for 10 inch races.
Wow.
You look at that, but then you look at the Bulldog spray chart on him, and they hit him all across the field.
Yeah. I mean, from dead left field to dead right field and everything in between.
So very few, in fact, there may have been no looking strikeouts on the Bulldogs. If there was one,
no.
It was a clinging strikeout. And
yeah, and I think we've had two clinging strikeouts that I can think of for the duration of the game. But he came in, what was it, with one or two outs in the second, I think, second inning. And so you figure two and two-thirds innings over 90 pitches. So
he's going to want to hack that all.
Oh, I said he's not going to feel that all tomorrow. And at least, I mean, again, at this point, you know you have, Ira has an insurmountable lead. You've had two hits the entire game. You've had a pitcher who's put 90-plus pitches in as far as his work's concerned. And, you know, all you're trying to do is get out of an inning here. The one advantage for the pitcher coming in is he is coming in with a 1-2 count on the batter. So,
you know, Jackson Brown is his name. He was the first baseman for the game so far. So see what happens now. There's been a few trip calls.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. 1-2 is the count on Brighton Partain. Runners at first and third for the Bulldogs. And first pitch is outside, so it count even. That's 2-2. Two outs here in the bottom of the fourth. 20-0 is the score here in this regional semifinal game. Again, the winner will go on to face Nazareth next week in the regional final. And for a berth in the state game, as Brighton laces a line shot into left center field, and he is going to get into second base as the throw comes in to third. Another run scores. And, again, look at that spray chart. I mean, there is green all over the field. So they've just been doing a great job of taking the pitch wherever it's coming in and putting it back out into play. Number two, Jared Pena, and that pitch is up and tight as Jared turns away from it, barely misses him. Catcher able to go ahead and keep him going to the backstop. This is not something you would want to see here at this stage in this ball game. To have somebody end up getting hurt, especially the Bulldogs starting pitcher. Runners at second and third. Pitch two is high and outside, so 2-0 is the count, two outs. 22-0 is the score. Again, high and outside.
The last time Brown threw a ball over the plate, Brighton ripped it.
Yeah.
And now he's trying to dance around.
He had one in tight to Jarek. Now he's afraid, doesn't want to hit him or have the perception that he's trying to do that. So the next three pitches are way outside. Excuse me.
And now you've got the magnet.
Not the magnet.
Jared's going to get the pinch runner, and it'll be Jared Cabrera. Courtesy running for him.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. No, I'm choked up.
Get that loft in stroke.
I hope not.
And there's Groot ripping it on the ground to right field, centering in one runner. Now the Bulldogs have bases loaded, leading 23-0 in the bottom of the fourth.
Drew, that's why I decided not to go and take a chance of getting hit. It's a pitch out over the plate. Let's just go ahead and run it into right field. See what happens here. It looks like there's going to be another switch for... As good as we have another.
Oh, it's McCallum.
There we go. That's good for some of these guys to be able to get in a game like this.
Absolutely.
Jaron at the plate, base is still loaded. 23-0 is the score. Two outs here in the bottom of the fourth inning. Pitcher is having a hard time getting the ball to the plate as he is high and outside. Jaron way out ahead of the
But he has hit the last two really hard, and you know that's what he wants to do again.
Exactly.
He's getting close to that wall.
1-1 is the count on the swinging strike.
Oh.
And we, you know, at this point, I really can't say anything about the umpire. That pitch was well outside, but called strike. 1-2. And the ball goes down to the first baseman. He's able to pick it up, step on the bag for the third out of the half inning. Iowa Bulldogs score 8 runs in the bottom of the fourth. Score is 23-0. And all they need are 3 runs, and they will advance to the regional final matchup with Nazareth next week.
Sponsored for the broadcast is Mark and Sheila Harvest, backing the Bulldogs in all that they do. I'm just going to run through all the sponsors real quick, not read their ads, just say their names, because we're going to twist the end in here pretty quick. First Baptist Snyder, Doug and Susie White, Renegade Services, Shelby Buckin, I'm sorry, Kim Patton.
With Shelby Buckin,
yeah, yeah. Ira Baptist Church, Ira Booster Club, Arrowhead.
Should be back live.
Should be, hopefully.
I'm not sure what happened there, but when you're up 23-0, I guess weird things happen.
That's right. Well, let me run through our sponsors' names real quick. Mark and Sheila Harlett, First Baptist Church Snyder, Doug and Susie White, Renegade Services, Kim Pack, Ira Baptist Church, Ira Booster Club, Arrowhead Ranch, Taylor Ranch, Industrial Hosts, also up the flag, Community Bank of Snyder, Texas Farm Bureau's agent, Cormier Seller, Snyder Iron and Metal, Sonic Drive-In, First Church of God in Ira, and Pizza Inn.
That's a good job getting all those in like that.
It helps to be a preacher.
Yes, yes, it does. Swinging strike, fouls back on the first pitch here in the top of the fifth inning. Jared Pena still on the mound. And swinging and missing strike two, 0-2 is the count. Iowa Bulldogs up 23-0 in this regional final. And Jarek with the pitch is down low. Jarek able to bring it up out of the dirt, tied the batter out. So strike out 4. The first out in the top of the fifth inning is at least 4 strikeouts in a row now for Jarek. He sets the side down in order via strikeout last half inning.
And he threw 14 pitches in the fourth inning and 11 were strikes.
Wow. Swinging strike one. Jaron is set outside about 6 inches off the plate, and Jarek has hit his glove exactly where he wanted it both times. Lefty batter at the plate, and he has pulled himself away from both of those swinging strikes. Jaron in the same location, and strike three. Swinging strike three. I mean, that's amazing. Jaron just went ahead and set Jarek up, said, you know, if you'll throw it right here, yeah, I think we can go ahead and get him swing three times. Well, that's exactly what he did, and that's exactly what happened.
He threw 6 pitches. This inning, all
6 pitches, 6 strikes, 2 strikeouts, swinging.
And he's just consistently, as the game's gone on, gotten stronger and stronger.
Cold strike. You don't even have to swing now. You know, he is in the zone, has been the last 2 innings.
This is the top of the order for Westbrook.
Off-speed pitch. swinging strike. So our Bulldogs are one strike away, one out away, from advancing to the regional championship. And Jerry put a lot of extra on that. Jerry had to come up out of his crowd in order to keep that one from going to the backstop.
I think he got a little bit amped up on that.
I think so. And swinging strike three, your Ira Bulldogs, regional champions or regional semifinal champions, will advance to the regional finals next week against Nazareth 23-0 against the Westbrook Wildcats. And as you said, a little revenge for the Bulldogs. Let's just hope, okay, Ben, let's look at this in the big picture. Westbrook beat the Iowa Bulldogs in the playoffs, knocked them out of the playoffs in football, won the state title.
Yes.
So, Iowa Bulldogs knocked Westbrook out of the baseball playoffs. Maybe we go on to win our own state title.
I mean, it's absolutely a possibility with this team, because this team is 3 rounds out in the playoffs. They still. And like we said earlier, Westbrook is not a bad team. They're a really solid athletic squad. They won state in football, but the Bulldogs in baseball are defeated 22-0. It's hard to beat a team 3 times in a game.
You're exactly right.
Most damage in the playoffs is just speaks to the caliber of the boys that we've got on the team, the great job of coaching that they've had, and they're not done playing baseball.
They're not. And the thing with it is, you think sometimes, well, school is going to be out and all that. These guys are hungry. I mean, they love each other. They love going to the field every day. You know, the coaching staff loves them. You look at Gorman. Gorman's not a bad team either. They scored 2 runs, 1 earned run in that 2-game series.
Yeah.
You know, we outscored them, what, 34-2 in that. And like you said, this is not the first round. This is not the beginning of the playoffs. And yet, they're playing state championship ball.
And now they've got a tough assignment in Nazareth who will be their toughest opponent.
Right.
But then you add on to it just the emotional level of Goodwin versus Goodwin and one of your own. And so
Goodwin versus Goodwin, and we will by far be the toughest competitor that Nazareth has faced. So it just depends on who comes out and has their A game. You know, if their ace pitcher is on like Jarek is, that could be a 1-0, 2-1 game. Games 2 and 3, who knows? But I like our chances with the pitching staff that we have.
And as much as I would love to be at the game with you,
somebody's got to go to Alaska.
So I will be listening as best as I can to you.
You know, I understand that there's such a thing as trying to beat the heat, get away from the heat, but that's an extreme measure to go all the way to Alaska to do that.
I know, and the only thing that would hold me here is watching the boys play. I'll listen happily and root them on from afar. And
well, I'll tell you what.
I'm excited for Coach Goodwin, excited for just Ira in general, as we get to keep playing baseball.
Well, we'll do what we can to keep going as far as we can, and, you know, just know that as the guys are absolutely overjoyed as they hoist the trophy here on the field. And, again, we will get the details out as quickly as we can about next week's location and games. But appreciate you tuning in to this broadcast, and thank you for your support of Iowa Bulldog Baseball. Iowa Bulldogs, regional semifinal champions, go to the regional finals next week, and keep the season going. Appreciate you being